tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit should sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Yep. And we're bringing you another episode back to our more of our evening stroll, which is not to say it's the time that works best for us, but it's generally when we do record. And less distractions outside, less construction. Everyone's kind of settled for the evening.
Yes, and grandson is home, so he's not here doing grandson things.
Yes, young TJ. He's always a pleasure, I'm sure, and a handful. I'm sure he's both.
Yes. Love having him, but it'd be hard to record with him here.
Absolutely. So for our listeners, today, this evening's topic is finding money. And literally, we're just going to go through some strategies that Big Group's come across and that we've talked about off air that our listeners and ourselves, I'll be honest, and ourselves can apply right away. This is not something you need to sit down for a financial course or meet with a financial advisor. These are just real world strategies that are good, make good economic sense, and can be applied basically immediately.
Exactly. It's basically a financial spring cleaning, you know, things you should be doing or should have meant to do before, never got around to it. Now you're going to force yourself just to push forward and do something that's beneficial to you.
Definitely. So, Big Rube, where did this financial awareness kind of come from? Because I know we spoke about a topic, not to record, but just in our own conversations, and it just, you know, made sense that this is something we should bring to our listeners. So what was that original, article you came across?
I saw an article, actually the video that a gentleman made, I think it was on Instagram. Basically, he was saying that he pays everything with his credit card, everything. He said because, one, he has much less liability when it's a credit card than tying up his own money. So even if you have a lot of money in the bank and you go and you make payments, everything through your bank account, and someone gets a hold of the information and commits fraud, you now have to prove to the bank that you didn't, you know, condone these transactions. And it's going to take a while for them to release your funds and to get everything back on track. Whereas if it's a credit card and you purchase stuff through it, credit cards are all insured up to like $1 million. So you just prove to them that whatever information they need, they see that it wasn't you, and boom, the transaction is canceled. They send you a new card, and you're back to business.
Right. So yeah, exactly. So I mean, it's a good video. You then shared a video with me, and I looked it over as well. And the gentleman made some really good points. And I think the reason why it stands out is because for many decades we've heard that credit cards were bad. And
exactly.
Right. And the reason is generally they are bad because people misuse them. So it's kind of
exactly
the same, right. So it's the same concept as anything else, that the thing that can help you can also hurt you depending on how you use it. Right. If you drive too fast, you can have a fatal accident. If you aren't careful cooking, you can burn your house down. So it's not necessarily the tool. It's the use of the tool.
Right. It's implementation of it, because basically what the gentleman was saying is that you pay everything or with your credit card, and then you pay it off right away. So you don't accumulate extra debt and put yourself where you're paying a lot of interest. Because if you pay the credit card off right away, there's no interest. But most people really use the credit card for money that they, like you said, they don't have. They spend the money they don't have to buy things they don't need.
Right. That's why in the 1980s into the 90s, credit card debt was the largest debt that we had in the society, in American society. And, you know, you could argue that people were not financially informed or educated. Personally, I think a lot of it was just the nature of people, right? People think if something is free, I get found money, it's easy, right? So I use this plastic card, I can get whatever I want. I'm not thinking about the limitations of what is and isn't in my wallet or my bank account. It's just I have this card and it's like magic. And the reality is people should have known, listen, I don't have the money for this, right? Like they should have had the discipline to know that I really can't afford to do this. So that being said, you know, it's really a case where are people going to do the right thing even right now, right? So going back to what the gentleman said, because you just made the point, right? It can be very dangerous if you're not using it right, but you should use it because you should use it right and it should be beneficial.
Well, that is totally true. I mean, you know, part of my job or what I do on the side, I work with a financial services company and we teach some of these principles, but money doesn't come with instructions. So most times people have, like you said, they get access to things but don't know how to use it or use it improperly. Again, if I give you a car and we don't teach you how to drive and follow the laws of the road, you might start running stop signs and making illegal turns and all kinds of things because you might learn the mechanics of using a car, but you don't know the rules. So again, a lot of times we have money, but we don't know the rules of how to use things properly.
True. And I think for our listeners, we just want to emphasize that some of the instructions we give are to be processed, you know, within your own circumstances, your own lifestyle. But at the end of the day, you know, to the last point Big Rup just made, you know, most car accidents are caused by seasoned drivers who just drive recklessly. So the same thing is true with a credit card or any type of financial instrument. If you're doing it recklessly, you're almost certainly going to have a negative outcome. If you do take the time to apply, you know, some common sense, logical, straightforward applications of it, then you can use it well. So if you're using a credit card and you know that I can afford to buy this, I'm just going to use that money and then pay it off, that's fine. If you know that this is three times more expensive than anything you could afford right now, you should know, don't even consider buying a credit card or not.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists are on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
No, exactly. And again, we're really talking about good financial habits people should develop and things that can help them increase their credit score and reduce their liability as far as if someone commits fraud on them, how they cannot be liable for it. But at the same token, I was just making that point because a lot of us, our first introduction to credit cards might be in college where they just sit at the local college and they're giving out applications and they give you a card. You don't really know how it works. So you're thinking, oh, in your mind, you're 22 or good, it's free money. Now, you might have been more savvy than a lot of people and used it more wisely. A lot of people think of it as free money and they don't realize the interest. Because again, you might buy something for $100, which you could pay off, but then you're paying the monthly payment of $15. Next thing you know, you're paying $300 for something to go down the park.
True. I think we'll emphasize that last point and move on. I think we'll say, okay, most people don't read the details. They don't dive into the contract, the nitty gritty, the interest rate, how it works. We'll accept that. We know it's not free money, right? So that part I have to just kind of push back on is if you see a bag full of money, you know it's not yours. You can grab it, but you're also taking a risk of whatever comes with it. So we'll just say we're going to encourage good financial practices and try to get, you know, our listeners to pay a bit more attention to detail so they're not burned by things. But you know it's not free money. We understand money doesn't grow on trees, and that's not how life works.
No, exactly. And again, one of the advantages of paying your, you know, using your credit card and paying it off, you're helping your credit score and, you know, you're not incurring any interest if you pay it off directly. So if you're going to say buy gas and you go for $50 of gas into your car, instead of using your debit card, use the credit card and then you just pay it off right away. So that's making your credit, you know, credit card companies like you're paying money right away, which they like, and you're not using money you don't have. You're going to spend that $50 anyway.
True. And I think to a minor detail that you just said, I think that's what credit card companies don't like. They don't want you to pay it off on time, right? That's the point. It's a tool, right? And it's a game. A lot of finance is a game. It's like the game of life. It's like Monopoly, right? And I make money by you losing money, right? So you not paying it off on time, you incurring the interest is how I make money as a bank or a credit card company. You using it the way that, you know, we're suggesting in a way that the video suggested, it's responsible. So you're basically not losing money, and therefore the bank is not really making money. So it's basically putting money in your pocket.
Yeah, when I said they like it, I meant the credit reporting agencies like it. That makes your credit score go up as you know, it was going to go up as a positive as opposed to you spending extra money. Not the credit card companies, obviously, they don't like that because they want you to pay 24% interest.
True, true. And again, you know, we've always, you know, I mean, whenever we talk economics, I talk macro, micro, I always kind of have that dual understanding of it. But no, this is just a way of, as the episode says, finding money. So there are things that we can do in our everyday lives that actually, that we're basically giving money away or losing money. So we're saying if we pay attention to some of these things, have a better understanding of them, we can actually find money simply by not losing it or by taking advantage of other things that bring money towards us. So the first one, again, is to systematically, in other words, just figure out what you're using your debit card for that you can then supplement your credit card in place of it. Again, assuming you have credit, assuming you already have a credit card. And then the same way your bill comes end of the month, you pay off the entire bill. So there's nothing owed. And that's it. Like you just use it, like you said, use the credit card as your debit card.
Exactly. So that would be, you know, one thing you can do to definitely help you along your history. And again, I'm not stressing the fact that there's fraud, but there's other forces out there. And it gives you more protection because you're not using your, you know, a card where it's tied to your bank account and everything that you have is now with your identity. So you have more protection.
Right. And I think that should be emphasized now because we're living in the cyber days. And in the cyber days, identity theft is a major factor. So when debit cards came into prominence and with PIN numbers, fraud was less frequent and actually harder for the fraudsters. Technology's made it so easy. Everything is digitized and, like I said, tied to your identity. So the fact that your money, you're using your money in the form of debit is making it easier for whoever gets your identity to have access to your money. Whereas if you're using your credit card, as Big Loop stated, that's not you. That's a company that's extending your line of credit. If they take the line of credit, the company now has to deal with that, not you.
Exactly. So it's a better way to make your purchases and have yourself less on the hook.
Exactly. And the final thing, I've mentioned this before, even with business, that credit is not a bad thing. I mean, businesses operate off of lines of credit. The bottom line is that credit is, like you said, an extension of money that you expected to have, right? So this is not a new concept. It's just a concept that is not really in the everyday use of most people, right? Most people feel I should use the money that I have to be responsible. No, you should use money that's going to benefit you and, to this point, that's going to minimize your risk. So I think once we really understand this is how businesses operate, that's what it is. Yeah, they extend credit to each other because IBM is good for it. Apple's good for it. Don't worry if you pay for it right now. I know you have the money down the road, so I'm not worried about it.
No, that's true. And if you know, someone is watching a lot of real estate investing videos and things like that, a lot of their principles do teach you to use other people's money, use the bank's money when you're buying property, not to use your own money. You know, exactly. You got to have the money as collateral, but you don't have to use your own money.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, I think that's a good one. It's almost like we've gone full circle. There was a period of time when credit cards were demonized for good reason, because they did a lot of damage to the average consumer in this country. Debit cards were seen as a badge of honor. You know, I'm a responsible person. I have a decent income. I'm able to use the money that I have. And now we're realizing, or at least this particular episode is emphasizing, that we need to be as financially literate as possible, that we can make smart decisions and not leave money on the table, hence finding money.
No, it's true. I think another place we can find a lot of money is subscription services. I think a lot of people, whether they have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Discovery Plus, Paramount, there's so many out there now, they're paying for probably multiple services and they might overlap. They're paying for the same service two or three times. And you're paying $5-6 a month, so you don't really feel it, but you might be wasting money that could go back into your pocket.
Tired of the same rap songs. Uh-huh. Every new hit, you sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
That's a really good one. I like that one. Didn't see that coming, actually. When you say overlap, what is the overlap?
Because say someone has Hulu and they have the add-on for Stars, but they're paying Stars for their cable. Then they're paying HBO, not say HBO, but say ESPN, but they're also paying for ESPN Plus. Like some things they might be paying for multiple times, and they actually have access to it on another platform. So a lot of people don't pay attention. Because I forgot who it was, one of my friends, they were clicking on something, and even though they had Stars, they clicked on the add-on to Hulu with Stars, and they're paying for that too. So they didn't realize they're paying double because they didn't use the same account.
Gotcha, gotcha. That's a really good one. I mean, yeah, thank you for sharing, because I think that one was slipped by a lot of people. I think the more suave video consumer is probably aware of what they have and has a certain amount of services strategically. But you're right. You can actually double dip and pay for servers that you have access another way. You also can be very disciplined. Like, what's the thing that Hulu advertise? Oh, next day on Hulu, right? So you can actually pay for Hulu or have the Hulu app and forego certain things for a day and watch it next day on Hulu, or, you know, just, or it was FX on Hulu. And I'm just saying, to your point, you're right. There is something you say, hey, you know what? If I wait 24 hours, I can save $6 a month, which is basically over 70 bucks a year.
Yeah, it's true. You can. But I think a lot of us are impulse buyers. Also, a lot of us live in multi-person households. So maybe our spouse ordered something that we don't know, and they're paying for the same channel you're already paying for.
True, true. So what would be the best way to get a handle on both scenarios? Because the multi-personal household, like you said, that's a big one, because people all tend to hold onto their devices, not communicate what's on their devices. As you said, I got my apps, you got your apps, my has their apps. And instead of communicating and saying, listen, I'll pay for this and you can watch it and you pay for that and I can watch it. And like you said, we both found money.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing with that would be to each person to sit down and go through their, you know, if they pay it through their bank card or whatever, or their credit card, see which ones come out, what time of the month they can see. All right, I have Hulu, Netflix, you know, Stars, whichever ones you have. And then compare it with your relatives in the household and see if any of them are overlapping. And like you said, you pay for this one, I pay for that one, and we all compromise. And we can probably save some money that way.
No, that's true. That's true. That's a really good one as well. And again, the episode topic is finding money. And these are definite today, like immediate items you can do. You can literally log into your accounts and or your bank account and see what's debited when and say, hey, wait a minute. Matter of fact, you can do both. You can see what's debited when and actually put your credit card in place of your debit card. And you can see what services you're doubling on and say, hey, I can cut the service out. So you've just given our listeners two ways of saving money.
Well, just share the hope. And like you said, this is a financial spring cleaning. We all need to do our spring cleaning.
Exactly. And I just want to apologize to our listeners for that sound. There's a car outside that is being very disturbing. And, you know, it's part of living in the city and recording, you know, in the city where you live.
As they say, life in the big city, right?
Basically. And just
in that sense. And then, no, it stopped.
Right, exactly. But again, apologize to our listeners because it's just one of those things we deal with.
Premature.
Yeah. Do you have any additional ones? Because you're dropping jewels. I mean, I'm literally writing down and planning out what I can kind of revisit myself.
Well, another one I have, and I know a lot of people don't take advantage of it, but a lot of places offer you discounts if you have their store card or rewards card and things like that, like buying gas, going shopping, you know, where you don't have to always have a coupon. I know I have my Stop and Shop card. Stop Shop is one place that actually lets you get a discount without having the actual card. You can just put forgot card, but a lot of stores give you discounts or points when you use a loyalty card. So just getting a loyalty card to a store that you go to frequently, take advantage of it. You know, Dunkin' Donuts gives you free coffee. Starbucks gives you free coffee. McDonald's will give you, you know, specials where you get like French fries for $1. All those things add up over a course of time.
No, they do. They do. And I think it's good to emphasize that loyalty cards are not store credit cards, because you do have a lot of stores, not those that you mentioned, but.
Yeah. Macy's is the one that pushes the store credit card, but this is right. About loyalty cards in general.
Right, exactly. And that's why I just wanted to push that difference, because there's no point in getting a Macy's card when you have your own credit card, because that's the point. It's just their credit card. What Big Rube is talking about, like you said, is a card just for going to Starbucks. You go to Starbucks every day, like you said. Use their card, get discounts. You're a good member. That is a win-win situation, because if you have the card, you're more likely to go there. They're giving the discounts because that means you're going to buy it probably every day. Win-win.
Exactly. So that's something that, you know, those are things we can take advantage of. And now, a lot of times we have smartphones. If you download the app for that store, you don't have to carry a physical card. You can just have it on your smartphone.
Right. So these are definitely good strategies that our listeners can have. And I know a lot of us have too much apps on our phone. I guess it's good to have apps that bring money towards you instead of pushing money away from you.
Yeah. I mean, whichever's easier. It's easier to carry a wallet with 20 store loyalty cards, it's fine. Or if you want to have an app that has all your money stored in it. Whatever's easy for the individual. I'm not telling you it's one way that's better than the other. Just that you should take advantage of it. If you can get free food, free stuff, discounts on something you're purchasing anyway, take advantage of it.
No, well said. I totally agree with that. In fact, I guess the point I would say behind that is also you can take advantage of what you buy, what you shop for, and see do you need it or what you can do without. That's another way of just saying, okay, do I overbuy certain things? Do I buy things that I don't use? Do I buy things out of convenience or habit that isn't actually something I really need to pay for? So I think, you know, maybe having a lot of store cards and going to a lot of stores encourages that consumer mindset, whereas you can say, okay, you know what? As I go through my house and clean out things that I don't need to use or don't use that much anymore, I can also do it financially. I can realize, you know, I don't really go to that store that much. Or, you know what, I don't really eat this half the time. I buy it, I store it, it goes bad, and I throw it out. So maybe I can start to reassess what I spend my money on and do it more efficiently.
That's a great point. There's people I know that buy a lot of cereal, and half the cereal ends up in the garbage because it's spoiled by the time they can get around to eating it. Well, you never get around to eating it. You know, canned food usually doesn't happen as much because it's got a longer expiration, a longer shelf life. But at the same token, if it's something that you're not eating on a regular basis, maybe you don't need to purchase it. You know, it's good to have some things because, again, we realized with the onset of the pandemic last year, it's good to have things in the house if you're not trying to go out and buy everything. But it's also not good to buy stuff that you're not going to use.
No, definitely. I mean, what you said is true. The pandemic definitely reshaped a lot of people's buying habits for a lot of reasons. The main one being safety, right? Just to not expose yourself as much.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
You got a long, long line. People fighting over toilet paper, which is really unbelievable. And people were getting ridiculous. I mean, I could understand buying, you know, you buy the big package that's on sale and you get a pack of 36, whatever, that's fine. But you don't need to have 10 packs of 36. Where are you going with all this toilet paper?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, these are all really good, really, really good tools and really good habits that you're putting out for our listeners. Because, again, virtually every single thing you said can be done tonight, could be started tonight, could be started tomorrow. These are things that we have a handle on. A lot of times there's strategies that you have to learn, and you have to do some research, or you may have to reach out to an expert. And these are things that we can do ourselves. And to be honest, these are things that I've done, right? Our conversation prior to recording, and I actually started, because I do use my credit card as well, so I do have a balance. But you're right, why not use my credit card for everything and then just use my debit to pay it off?
It's good. And it's also good in the sense that really you're only worried about paying that one bill a month, because you know that that's what you're using that for everything. So that's the one bill, boom, so my bill is boom, everything's knocked out, as opposed to paying a whole bunch of different bills and not, you know, trying to keep track of one thing to do.
That's a good one, but funny enough, I think that's why people do use the debit cards, right? Because I have the money, it's tied to my bank account, so I use it for everything. And I think what you're saying is, okay, you can just add one more step and you're doing the same basic thing. So now you're paying twice. You're using a credit card for everything and using a debit card just for your credit card. So it's basically a credit card is your bulletproof vest.
Yeah, it's your bulletproof vest. And again, you want to use money in a way that's going to benefit you. If it's going to help your credit score to go up, it's what everybody looks at now when you're going to buy a car, buy a house, even to get insurance. They want to know your credit score or anything that's going to have a positive effect on it. It's to your benefit.
Absolutely.
I think another thing people need to take advantage of is any matching that your employer will do towards your retirement plan. I think a lot of people leave a lot of money on the table, because if a company says they're going to match you 100% up to 6%, then it's your duty to make sure you put at least 6% of your money into that retirement plan so they can match you. That's free money they're giving you into your retirement.
Well, 6% of your disposable income. So the truth of the matter is, again, if you can't pay your rent, obviously you have to pay your rent. But I think the point we were saying is that whatever money you have that's disposable that your company would match or anything like that, there's no reason that you're not using that money, because it's being doubled.
Exactly. So obviously, yeah, if you have a job where your income is so low that you can't pay your bare necessities, I'm not telling you to take money out of your children's mouth. But if it is something where you're pulling away money, or money that you would squander on something else, at least make sure you're putting the amount they'll match so you can get some free money from your employer.
Exactly. Well, I think that one now is a bit of a step up for some of our listeners and just maybe consumers in general. So where would the average person get this information in an understandable way? I know when you sign up, they send you prospectus and a bunch of information. What would be the easiest way for the average employee who does have this company matching to understand the process?
Well, me personally, I've worked for, we have an HR department. So if you want to make any additional contributions or change your allocation, you just speak to somebody in HR. They normally will talk you through the process. And also a lot of companies use a third party company, maybe Fidelity or I forgot the other one I've heard of, but they usually use a third party company that you'd be able to, you know, set up an account and you can log in and you can allocate how your money is done. I'm not telling everybody to be professional money managers. When I worked my last employer, they actually had a free service that managed our money for us. So you can tell them, you know, basically if you're aggressive, if you are a younger person and you could take more risks, they'll put your money in a certain, you know, more aggressive stocks. And if you were more conservative and closer to retirement, you want to go less conservative. But they do it for you. It was a free service that was offered. But basically, you just want to, you know, go to your HR department and tell them that you want to make sure that you're taking advantage of any matching that they will be able to do for you in your retirement plans, you know, retirement plan.
Okay, that's a good point. But just to follow up on that, let's say there are some of our listeners or just people out in the general workforce that do want to get a better handle on their financial life. Like you've given them some really good house cleaning tips financially that they can do. But let's say they do want to learn a bit more, not so much play the market or anything like that, but, you know, I have a retirement account. I'm not looking for a stockbroker or anything like that, but I am looking for someone that can just give me the generals that I should, you know, the general basics that I should be doing to save for retirement. I don't know.
Oh, well, if someone's looking to save for retirement, they would want to, you know, reach out to a financial professional. And I'm actually affiliated with a company that we do those type of things. We actually try to bring Wall Street to Main Street and, you know, help middle to lower to middle income families with their finances. So, anybody that has any questions, not me personally, because I'm not licensed in securities, which is like the financial products. I'm more just an insurance professional. So I definitely can help with any type of insurance, life insurance questions. But I do have access to a bunch of friends that are fully security licensed that can assist in any type of retirement planning or any type of investments that somebody might want to get into.
Okay, okay. And well, I mean, that's good to know. So like you said, you do update the brothers' Facebook page. So I guess you can put some information there just for people looking for more information. But I meant even on a more general level, let's say someone hears the episode and, okay, they go to the Facebook page and they get information that way. But let's say they want to Google just any little bit of information just to get started. What would you recommend that they put in the Google search?
Oh, they can put in information about money market funds, mutual funds, investing for the average consumer, because obviously they're not a hedge fund or a big institutional investor. They just want information on, you know, maybe retirement planning for, say, individuals, things like that. You can Google and a lot of different resources will come up. You know, they can also, you know, talk to, if they are dealing with a large company, say they're working for a large company that has a big HR department, like I said, I'm pretty sure they might be affiliated to some type of institution that they're using for their financial resources. They can also go to a bank, but usually I wouldn't recommend going to a bank because, as we know, interest rates are very, very low. They're going to try to push you into the products that they want to peddle, which is basically going to make them money, not really make you too much money. So that might not be an avenue you want to investigate.
True. I know at one point banks were at least housing financial advisors, even if they weren't working directly for the bank. They were on site and could give you information beyond the bank's initial products. But I guess the main thing now, like you said, is we're just, again, this topic of finding money is just encouraging our listeners to be much more financially aware, to take steps that they can immediately implement. I mean, I think the subscription one is probably really a shot out the dark that I think a lot of people can start today. Like, you know what? I didn't even realize I'm still paying for this. I thought I stopped paying for it a year ago, but you know, you don't check. And it's, again, it's just coming out your debit account, whatever, or even your credit for you did that. So I think these strategies are really hands-on that anyone can start to apply. And then you gave some good information to start researching more. I want to know more. I want to be more in control of my financial life. And again, plan for retirement because, you know, everybody gets older and nobody gets younger.
No, that's true. It is really, you know, hard. No, when I say hard, you have to like try to stay on top of everything. There's a lot of information out there. You got to try to pull the pertinent things that's going to help you in your particular situation to have a better outcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Big Rube, you've given like so much good information. It's almost unfair to say, do you have a call to action for our listeners? But we do always kind of sum up our episode and point them in a particular direction of a step they can do. And again, you gave so many good financial strategies. So what would a call to action be as far as finding money?
Nike's theme, just do it. Most of us, we have good information or we'll hear about the things that's going to benefit us, but we procrastinate. We're going to do it tomorrow. We're going to do it next week, next month, and it never gets done. And we end up spending countless hundreds of dollars on things that we could have stopped doing. So just do it. Do it now. Don't wait till tomorrow.
No, I'm laughing because it's true. It's well said and it's true. Just do it because this is probably one of the more hands-on episodes that we've done where there's not a lot of heavy lifting or research needs to be done. It's just actually looking at your financial statements online or if you still get paper envelopes, just diving in and seeing what you're actually doing every month because you're already doing it, right? It's not you're going to start doing it or whatever. You're doing it. We're paying bills. We're allocating money. It's just a matter of paying attention to where it's being allocated. So you're right, just do it.
Yeah, that'll be my call to action. So we can stop procrastinating and get to saving some money.
Absolutely. I think my call to action, just to contribute to the episode that you've already contributed so much to, so I'm just trying to add to it, is greater communication. I think, like you said, families and spouses have to learn to start to communicate and work together and realize that, you know, we don't all have to do the same thing 3, 4, 5 times. You know, we can coordinate. Hey, I got this, you know, I have this app, you have that app, I'm covering this service, I got that service, and really just start to kind of align our interests. And I think a lot of it just starts with communicating.
Yeah, communication is key, because everybody will do their own thing, everybody has their own shows they like to watch, their own things that they subscribe to, but they might not realize that someone else in the household can, you know, pay for that, or they can combine services to make sure that they're not spending too much money on these different subscriptions.
Exactly. And I think it was easier when everyone gathered around the same TV and watched it. What happens now is we're all in our own little universes with these devices, but the principles are similar. And I think, like you said, just taking stock of your finances, the way you spend your money, the way people in your household spend your money, you may find, I'm sure you'll find actually some really good ways of combining, saving, and merging, you know, finances.
And one thing I didn't bring up before, a lot of companies realize that people use the same account and they let you have different profiles now, which they didn't have in the past. So before, there'd be one profile, and if I'm watching a show and you're on this episode and someone else watches it, they'd take it back to the first episode. Oh my God, I was at Mr. 5. Now I'm back to 1. Why is it on 1? Whereas now everybody can have their own profile, so it's separate. So you might have 5 profiles on 1 account.
Right. No. God, definitely. Well said. So again, I think that one, you know, like you said, just do it as far as, you know, just take these financial steps and start them immediately. And I think communicate, you know, find out who's doing what in the household and the family beyond the household, and figure out ways to save and cut expenses, and all that actually translates to finding money, which is today's episode.
Yep, and we all, and unless we're going to hit Lotto, we all need to find some extra money. We can take that money and, you know, do something positive with it.
Exactly. So again, today's episode is Finding Money. I am Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to, I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.